It's time to get brutally honest.
We asked him about Eli and Ben McAdoo and what the Giants are doing.
I think it's a disaster. I think it's a disaster and it's an embarrassment.
He probably hates the Giants. He was a Cowboy and an Eagle. They're two biggest rivals.
So rattled.
Hates the Giants.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Okay, yeah. Let's get serious. Come on,
let's
now.
Dig
it's a
in.
Wednesday afternoon. Let's
Positive
get going.
Wednesday? Yeah. I can't focus right now. I'm on the email chain with Jerry's secretary. Not happy. Jerry has some timing issues, or his secretary does.
Jerry was not that punctual.
Jerry actually never is, but his secretary, he's not either.
Well, I'll be honest.
Or she's not.
He or she. We don't want to give anything away.
Right.
Anyone could be Jerry's secretary, but I could understand why he or she.
Let me just explain what happens. Jerry generally walks in at 3:40, or no.
3:49.
Yeah.
3:51.
There's some wiggle room on that time, but I'll give you a 3:40. This is Jerry we're talking about.
Yeah, this guy comes here, blesses us with his presence, and does Jerry's percentages. But when Jerry shows up in the percentages from the secretary, which Jerry emails to the secretary in the morning, she hasn't printed them out until 3:58.
That's on her. That's on her. I'll give you that one.
Yeah. Or him.
Or him.
You never know.
Could be a robot. Could be a dog. Could be a cat. We don't want to discriminate against any potential.
Who knows? Yeah. It could be Bill Daly. Don't know.
Could be anybody. There's a lot of suitors that would want that gig. Jerry's personal secretary or assistant. I mean, that's a highly sought-after job we're talking about.
It is.
And it's very important that they are diligent and on time with their percentages that they print off because Jerry sent them earlier in the day.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of communication.
It's very important to get that out of the way.
Exactly.
So anyway, the reason we bring that up is because Scrizz is still on the board because Mullen is
working hard.
Producing and doing some stuff behind the glass. So when we get Mullen in here, we have a clip that we want to play that I believe we will play many times this afternoon.
Is it something I said?
No, it's not.
And you're going to enjoy it.
It is going to be the greatest clip. It is going to be our Wednesday clip. And we are going to find a way to have this clip in our show daily, maybe at least twice a week.
I'd say there's a minimum of 3 sound bites in the clip.
Yeah.
Maybe more than that.
I already know what you guys
that
are doing.
We are gonna
somebody
pull
carve me in.
No. It's got nothing to do with you.
No. Oh, okay.
Nothing, I swear.
Literally nothing to do
with
you.
It is the greatest clip, though, on a lot of different levels. And I can't even build it up anymore.
Don't say another word. We're just going to
leave it at that.
When Mullen gets in here, we will circle back, revisit. We will play the clip. We will break it down. Jim Popp, the GM of the Argos, will join us in studio at 4:30.
Nice.
We're supposed to bring the trophy in, but apparently the trophy has been in a tough spot. The Grey Cup.
Really?
Yeah. So I want to get his take on that. Like, are you concerned about what your players are doing with the Grey Cup?
Not at all. He should be happy.
Should that be on his radar? I mean, what is he? I guess he doesn't really care.
Well, unless there's arrests involved or something. But other than that, the Stanley Cup used to be given, and all I know is just the stories I was told by some of the Oilers. I played with Grant Fear in St. Louis, so you get a couple rums into Grant at the back of a plane, he'd let loose a couple stories. Mark Messier, I grew up in St. Albert, Alberta. Mark Messier used to bring the cup to the Bruin Inn, which was a gritty little hotel that had a strip club in it.
Wait a minute. There was a peeler in a hotel?
In a hotel. The Bruin Inn.
That's very common. I'm surprised you're not familiar with that.
I'm not familiar with that.
You never heard the Manor in Guelph?
No.
The Gretzky of peels.
I have never heard of the Manor in Guelph.
Well, are you serious?
How would I know about a grimy strip club in
Don't
Guelph?
Don't you talk about that place like that.
Guelph is the New Jersey Devils of Ontario small towns.
Excuse me, I spent my junior career there.
It's gritty. Is it gritty? It's somewhat
it's the greatest.
Gritty. Okay, so
there's nothing to Guelph.
I'm referring to the Manor.
What is it called? The Manor? The Manor Hotel?
Yes.
Okay, so the point being is the Stanley Cup would be on stage with some of the dancers.
The workers, the workers, employees.
The employees of the Bruin Inn. And I believe that that's why the Stanley Cup started to get a chaperone is because of some of the places this cup would end up.
Mm-hmm.
If that had a camera, if that had a GoPro attached to it, it's seen some things.
I would think so.
So the Grey Cup, guaranteed, has seen a few things.
All right, well, we'll see if we can get some stories out of Jim Popp. He'll be in here around 4:30. Lou Lamoriello's on the show at 6:05 today, and I would think he's pretty happy with his team.
He should be.
4-1 win in Calgary last night.
They played well. They played well. They deserved the win.
Very good road game.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't ask for anything better. The Flames never felt like they were going to get going. They were flat, but it never felt like, even after Stone scored, I wasn't thinking this game's going to heat up.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a game. I didn't think the Flames were
get
great.
It together out there. It was I described it last night for our final hit on SportsCenter as the perfect road game and the perfect start to a road trip, because you quieted the crowd.
Yep.
You had opportunistic goal scoring. You had great goaltending, only 20 shots, but he had to make some really
good saves. He made some good saves at the right time, absolutely. Yeah.
And most importantly, you got a bunch of guys that can play way better than they did last night. Mm-hmm. And you still won. How do you get better than that as far as a first game on a road trip? That's perfect for a road trip.
Well, and that was the game, just based on the team. You know, take out of it that Calgary was coming off a long roadie. The building was half filled with Leaf fans. I mean, you said it quieted the building. It quieted the one half of the building. It got right. The other half fired up. But in terms of the way these three teams are playing and the way they're built, Calgary's the best team of the three, the way they're going. I mean, Edmonton survived last night. Now, that seems to be a theme in this country because Montreal, Ottawa, and Toronto lost to Arizona as well.
Yeah.
So Arizona, I guess you've got to give them some more credit.
Well, and but Edmonton had come off that long road trip, too. So they were flat like Calgary. I had the split screen going last night because you could tell right from the get-go. I thought the Flames tried a little bit early on, and then they got worse as the game went on as Toronto took over the game. And then in watching that Edmonton-Arizona game, it was a game just kind of, the puck was just being moved around. Like, it wasn't a real exciting game. It looked, Leon Draisaitl looked like he had wooden legs out there. He looked like a hobby horse. Like, he just was dead.
But wouldn't you say the Leafs are the favorites going into tomorrow night?
They should be.
They should be on their record, absolutely.
Just but, from what's been going on the last 2 weeks, if you break it down for each team,
and
you have to have the Leafs as a favorite.
And Talbot as a question mark, too. You take their starting goaltender, a guy who should have been up for the Vezina last year. He's been the guy who's been polarizing in Edmonton because he
hasn't.
Aren't
I going through emails? He's out with an upper body? Or?
Yeah.
Well, there's it's not official. He's not playing.
He tweaked something, so he may not play tomorrow. That's what.
There's another one. Not going to get into it, though.
Yeah. Well, the Leafs can benefit. That's great.
Exactly.
No kidding. Put
He's not
Brassard in there. And
Brassois,
whatever his name is.
And just Brassard light him up. Light him up. Because the Leafs, Brassard. You're right. I mean, they had some guys who had very good games, some guys who maybe could have brought a little bit more. But that seems to be the theme of our conversations all week.
Mm-hmm.
Internal improvement. Like, yeah. You can get more out of a bunch of guys.
A lot of guys.
And they're still 16-9-1. And that's the truth. I mean, this market and this fan base, and I'm one of them, I've lived here my whole life, we lean towards pessimism, we lean towards it all coming crashing down. And remember, before the season started, we did our turkey dump, our first annual turkey dump.
Yeah.
And I dumped the pessimistic,
attitude.
Scared, yeah, like just anxious fan here in Toronto because it's a different team, it's a different fan base. That doesn't mean, or I shouldn't say different fan base, different organization, they're a different program.
Correct.
Different players, different coach.
Different regime
different mentality.
That comes with that,
yes. Yes, I mean, they have not played perfect, and they're 16-9-1. They are closer to Tampa than anybody else in their division.
Yep.
Like, they're what, 8 points up on the third-place team in the division? Now, they've played a lot more games.
Yeah.
But
they played about three more games, 2 to 3 more games. So, realistically, let's say 5 points up, you know, if a team bites one or two of those games
sure.
back. But, yeah, they're in full command of that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what your point was.
That's what I'm saying, exactly. Like, Tampa deserves to be first overall in that division,
mm-hmm.
and they've been very impressive, very good. But Toronto deserves to be
right where they
second
are.
And right where they are. And you still look at it, and you're like, you know what? This guy could get better. That line could play a bit better.
Well, think of what they're doing. We talked about it yesterday. Nylander's got 2 goals, and so does Marner, or whatever they got. They got
4 and 2, yeah.
Who's got 4? Nylander?
No.
I don't think that...
There's 6 between the two of them, vice versa.
Marner has 2.
So Nylander has 4. Because I thought I'm just doing it on
Nylander has 4.
Yeah, it's 6 between the two of them.
But here's
6 goals between the two of them.
But here's the thing. Matthews has 12. Kadri has 12. Van Riemsdyk has 12. Marlowe's got 9.
Yeah, there's more...
Not everyone's going to score 35.
No, and the best player on the Maple Leafs team, he was invisible last night. He got an assist, but he was...
Matthews didn't have a great night.
He didn't just do anything.
Yeah, he just kind of plugged away.
I love breaking down his shifts when he dominates. It's like, look at this guy. You can't stop him. But I couldn't even come close to doing that last night. It's just a positive for the Leafs.
Exactly.
Because he's going to break out sooner or later.
He had... this is where I thought... I'm looking, and maybe I'm overanalyzing. I keep looking to see if he's a little still necked up. He got hit from behind by Dougie Hamilton in the second period behind the net on the glove side of Mike Smith, so in that far corner, the top of your TV screen. And it kind of jolted him. I watched him the
okay,
rest of the
shift. Okay, then take your gear off and don't play.
I'm not... What I'm saying is, I'm just keeping my eye on him. Like, I something's not 100% with him, health-wise. I'm sure it is structurally, because they are not letting their star player step on the ice without the confidence of his body being structurally fine. But he took a hit, which was awkward. And even against Arizona, remember he put himself in that spot and Max Domi came across? Like, we haven't seen that from Matthews in 100 games. But he got in a weird spot with Hamilton, and Hamilton took advantage of him, gave him a pretty good jolt. And I just watched him the rest of the game, and he just didn't seem 100%. But you know what? You're up 3-0 at that point. Who cares? Really, I mean, other than just padding stats and stuff like that, we're nitpicking. Now you're literally like
that's
picking
exactly
at a cart.
Right.
Like, you're literally, oh well, this guy could have been this. They won the game.
Exactly, they won 4-1 on the road. They're 16-9-1.
Yeah,
they held the team to 20 shots. I mean, they played really well last night. You're not going to have every guy playing spectacularly well every single night.
Do you think he's sitting on the plane up to Edmonton going, geez, you know what?
No, like, what does he care?
He's happy with a win.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why you develop depth. That's why you sign a guy like Marlowe. That's why you take your time and don't move on from a guy like Nazem Kadri, so that this is the payoff.
Right.
Like, this
exactly.
is why you have 10 top 9 forwards, so that when one of your big boys, if not multiple guys, aren't necessarily rolling, other guys are going to chip in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened last night. That's what's happened all year. I mean, I thought Marner had a great night. He's just snake-bitten. He can't score right now, but he had a great night.
Yeah, he looked good.
He'll be fine. Nylander's going to be fine. I mean, these guys are all, when the dust settles, the most talented guys more often than not end up leading you
right
when the end of the season comes. But who cares about individual stats? Like, the Matthews shots on goal stat is a really cool stat.
But I mean, really?
But it doesn't matter.
I couldn't care less about it until it was made such a big deal.
But I understand why it is. The first 103 games he's ever played, he had a shot on net. That's impressive.
Didn't you say Doug Hamilton has 108 in a row?
107 or 8 in a row last night. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah.
I could not believe that.
Yeah, exactly.
And credit to him. He deserves credit for that. That's a pretty remarkable stat, to lead the league in consecutive games with a shot on net. When you've got Ovechkin, it feels like he takes 15 a night.
You're right.
Brent Burns feels like he takes 25 a night. You know, but it's one of those games where who cares?
No,
like,
I
think that's another thing that is developing here with this team is it's about team success. It's about winning games. It's about hopefully being a playoff team year in, year out. Some guys are going to have ups and downs. Some guys are going to lead at different times. Some guys are going to score. Some guys are going to check. As long as the sum of all parts leads to 16-9-1 in your first 26 games, you're pretty happy with
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And then, like I say, then what we're doing is just nitpicking and saying, okay, well, this guy could have been better. This guy could have been. Yeah, you're right. But they won, and they didn't. To me, it didn't look like it was completely dangerous to them. It wasn't a game where it was like.
They had control of that
they
game.
They had control
right
of the
from
game.
The start. And if they bring that tomorrow night, I think they'll beat Edmonton. I think
Calgary was sluggish, too. And.
Well, Calgary and Edmonton both were doing what we talk about all the time, teams coming back.
Yeah.
It was their first game back, I believe, for both of them.
It was.
After long road trips.
Both of them had like 4 or 5 games.
And who knows, but that's what it was.
But it is, it's weird.
It's just weird how you come home and the first game home, you suck.
Yeah, and they're going to have to do that coming back because I think they play Calgary next Tuesday here.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to come back off this road trip and they're going to have to pony up right away. It stinks, but sometimes you just
How about that for Calgary? All 6 games here and then back, and then you're back again. They're probably doing another 3 or 4 gamer.
That's what the Western Conference teams do all the time,
yeah.
It seems.
Yeah, the travel out west is a lot harder. Think of you play in, you played in Carolina. That was real nice travel, but you play in the New York area. Our buddy Strudwick played with the Rangers. He would tell me no matter where they played out east, he was at home latest like 12:30, 1 o'clock a.m. in his bed on a road game because they would zip back like you play Philadelphia.
You're, as a young guy, you're 12:45, you're in the bar at home.
If you want.
Like after playing a road game.
Yeah, you play in Boston, you're back there by 12:30.
Islanders, Jersey.
Oh, Boston's a pain in the ass because of customs at the airport. It's a gong show. But any other place? Philly?
Yeah.
You're at the bar at 12:30.
Yeah, everything is, but that Eastern travel's pretty good.
That's pretty money.
It is.
I think you mentioned Pittsburgh being one of those teams where if you're in the New York area, yes. A game in Pittsburgh, you can get home and really party. Yeah. Or if you're the New York Islanders who happen to be from the New York area,
yeah.
And believe they're in Pittsburgh December 7th, they might want to stick around for the after party.
For sure.
Because we have a salesman for that night. It's going to be Star Wars night, I believe, December 7th.
I'm going. I want to go.
I have to be there. I think we all have to be there.
Overdrive that night there.
If this promotion doesn't just lead to you handing your checkbook over to the Pittsburgh Penguins,
yeah.
I don't know what could.
The force is strong with the Penguins. Join us and fight the dark side when we battle the Islanders on December 7th during our special Star Wars theme night. Buy tickets, you must. Visit PittsburghPenguins.com. May the force be with you.
It's Phil.
He's wearing a mask. He's wearing a Darth Vader mask.
That's the best part. He's saying, come out and fight the dark side, and then he puts on a Darth Vader mask.
May the force be with you.
He is the dark side. Like, how much...
Where did you guys find it?
It's all over Pittsburgh. Penguins.com.
Well, he actually has a mask on while he's...
He's got the mask up, and then at the end, he puts the mask down and says, may the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
How convincing is that sales pitch from Phil? Phil Vader.
And he's talking through the mask.
It's so good. Like, I can't believe they got him to agree to do that.
He's reading off a prompter, and he is just struggling to get through that.
That is a flat out, like, we all know in this industry, when you're just reading something and, like, being yourself, that is flat out,
robot
may the force be with you.
Robot.
May the force be with you.
But his reputation in Toronto of just being such a pain in the ass, asking him to do anything. He does everything
and
in Pittsburgh
And he's literally
now.
Doing that. It is brilliant, though.
I'd love to be on set with him when they pulled him in and said, we need you to read the script, and then for whatever reason, you have to put on this Darth Vader mask, even though we're asking you to fight the dark side. The whole production would have been hysterical.
It is.
Buy tickets, you must. Visit PittsburghPenguins.com.
Buy tickets, you must. So he goes into Yoda mode.
You must.
He's a beauty.
It is.
There's old Phil.
We are going to pull those clips. I want to say the rest of the season.
Yeah,
we've got to find a way.
Oh, we can drop a Phil
fight the force
soundbite. We've been asking for a refreshment of the Phil soundbites for quite some time.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll always play that this guy's such an idiot, and good one, Randy, good one. And
we've got lots of sayings on this show, too. That email that you got yesterday with the two guys from out east,
mm-hmm.
we have 74 sayings. It's pretty impressive.
That sounds about right.
And I think we can add to it.
I want to make sure I get these guys.
Yeah, you want to
kind of put me on the spot.
Well,
Noodles.
We can look it up, and we'll talk about it later after the break.
Yeah, okay. We'll find out exactly who those.
Yeah, the two brothers.
Two guys were two brothers out in eastern Canada.
Yeah, we've
big
got
fans
get,
of the show.
Exactly, we've got to give them a shout out. But I want to quote some of the sayings, and we got to add Phil's in.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that.
That would be great.
A lot of people in Guelph apparently listening to the show, and they are not happy
that you called Guelph the.
With my commentary. Me comparing Guelph to the New Jersey Devils was not a smart
ignorant,
move.
Man. That was ignorant.
Well, outside of the Manor, what are they known for?
Guelph Storm, great city, the royal city.
Exactly. Great city, the royal city.
The Phil Kessel of sales pitches
here we go.
For the city of Guelph.
It's a great city, man.
Is it?
It's one of the most up-and-coming cities in Canada.
Now you're just,
where'd you read that?
Now you are.
Where did you read that?
It's either that or one of the, you know, when they say the best places to live, Guelph.
Okay, but who determines that?
Dude, I don't care.
Like, who determines it?
I know that, like, you're talking, like, top places to live in Canada, like, 2014, 2015. Like, there are some, like, Burlington, I think, is in there. Oakville is one of them.
Barrie was, when I was up there, like, the fastest growing city in the country.
Where I grew up, St. Albert, Alberta, was number one in 2014.
It's just such small town junior hockey. I can remember, like, the usher that led us onto the ice and, like, opened the door. She was a peel at the Manor.
Get out of here. Shut up.
I swear on my life.
Did she go by her peeler name, or, like, what was on her name tag?
Well, the reason I found out, because I used to go to the peel, and then I saw her, I'm like, she knew that I knew.
Tell me it said, like, Roxanne or something. What did it say on the name tag?
Buddy, don't make fun of her name. We became friends.
What's her name?
It was Misty.
It was 30 years ago. You think? She was...
Tell
amazing.
Me,
she
it was like Aloha or
it wasn't Aloha.
Don't talk bad about Aloha. You always go negative on Aloha.
Well,
good for her, man. Two jobs. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's not easy living in Guelph, Ontario.
Exactly.
You got to open the door.
The royal city. Isn't that what you just called
it? The royal city.
The royal city.
Open the door and hit the pole. Two options.
Nothing wrong with that.
Amazing.
All right. Jim Popp will join us, the GM of the Argos, get his take on the parade yesterday, look back on the Grey Cup on Sunday, and we'll ask him about this Ricky Ray situation. I mean, is there a contract on the table? Is it a lock that the Argos definitely want him to return? And Lou Lamoriello coming up just after 6, Jerry's percentages at 5:30.
May the force be with you.
All right, Ray's coming up just after 5. Jerry's percentages at 5:30. TFC in action tonight down at BMO Field. We're going to try to catch up with our boy Christian Jack. KJ's a busy man down at BMO Field, though. Second leg of the Eastern Final. And it's supposed to be a packed house. You know it will be. And I was watching CP24 this morning. John Torrey and Tim Bezpachenko was there, and they had a bit of a rally down at City Hall. And Torrey... He said he thinks TFC has the most passionate fan base in the city. And then he kind of caught himself, and he's like, oh, that might get me in trouble.
No,
I don't think it would at all. Yeah.
How many people go nuts and throw flares and toilet paper, regardless of what you think about that? The post-game chant where they beat the drum, it's like there's a passion level there. As opposed to just saying, oh, I hope the Leafs score 5 goals tonight and win 5-1, and then I'll leave.
There's no comparable in terms of the in-stadium experience.
I think the Leaf fan base, there's diehard Leaf fans. But the truth of the matter is the diehard fans, you'll see them when they play in Buffalo. But they generally can't afford to go to the game. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
You want it like just sit around, go to a game, and look around during a first period when things are kind of, you know, it's kind of a bit of a chess match and not much is going on. It's just, you could hear a pin drop.
But that doesn't mean there aren't people out there that are as passionate as TFC fans. But
it doesn't mean they're not passionate. They're just educated people that understand the game a lot. And I played in Carolina, man. They would just stand up and cheer. Somebody hit somebody, the whole place stand up, cheer. Like a loud, crunching hit would.
Well, it's a different culture. I mean, soccer fans have that kind of notoriety.
I played the Stanley Cup Finals, and my dad was like, the people in the stands never sat down for 1 second the whole game. I actually don't like that, but that's what they do. That's what they do in the States. You watch a sporting event in the States, they don't sit down at all. That's their move.
But that doesn't mean that that makes you more into the team than the guy who is sitting down. But no, in terms of passion being expressed during the game, again, I don't think there is a comparison. Jays fans go crazy. Raptors fans go crazy. Leaf fans in the right moment go crazy. Right. But TFC fans are doing something completely different than anything we've seen.
They go to a bar and have beers, and they march to the I think that's awesome.
It's awesome. It's really
we should have done our show from there today. Al, wake up.
No, I wouldn't want to be down there. I think it's a circus. I don't like big crowds. Hayes, you'd be the same way.
Well,
somebody would step
pin.
On your foot or something, you'd be pissed off.
The bad pin is just, you're getting a little long in the tooth with the bad pin.
I extended the track pants and like sweatshirt as long as I could. I probably could have been dressing more appropriately about 3 weeks ago. You're right. I use it as an excuse. Like, it's getting really close to the end around my house.
Yeah.
Where your wife is like, don't pull this crap on me anymore.
Like, that's enough.
You're...
Like, last night we were supposed to put out the garbage, and generally I take that responsibility on.
You left that to her.
One last week. I said, next week I'll get back at it.
Really?
But she went for it. So.
I'm telling you, and I told you off air 100 times, you need to start doing aggressive therapy. I don't know what you're doing with therapy. Well, you're going once a week, aren't you?
I'm going twice a week.
No, that's not, dude.
What are you, Lays Dr. Ho? Yeah. Like, you got it all
figured
out.
I'm a former professional athlete. I've had surgeries. You need to be going every day. Forget it. I'm not telling you anymore. You can walk around like a loser.
I never asked for your first opinion, but you've told me that 45 times over the past month
and
a half.
You don't follow up on it. So just keep going.
I'm going twice a week. I'm walking now. I do my exercises at home. I've got a routine.
Twice a week, you get your ear chewed off, and then you walk out with nothing done probably. And you know what I'm talking about. The complaining.
Well, here. Anyway.
That's a different story.
That poor bastard.
Maybe you
imagine
can,
that guy's life.
Maybe you can actually step up your therapy to 3 times a week. That would make him happy. Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
All right, I'll mix in a third day for you.
My thing is, dude, we know some of the best people in the world for fixing people. And I saw Joe Blow, and I went to this guy who looked after pro athletes, and he's like, you're way behind. I need to get aggressive, get in there and dig and fix this. I was right back at him. I went up to Joe Blow. I'm like, what the hell were you doing? Like, I play for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and this is the therapy I get? Joe Blow?
Did JFJ set it up?
Yeah. As did a matter of fact, his regime did.
No, he didn't. And I was joking.
I'm dead serious. JFJ and his regime set it up.
Well, that's not the case anymore. The Leafs have a sports science.
Like, you wonder why
program.
I hate John Ferguson Jr. He had the results of my MRI with my shoulder. It was torn from game one of the season. And they're like, yeah, we don't know really what is wrong with it. And then at the end of the year, I'm like, we might want to do another MRI. Oh, yeah, I can't confirm or deny, but I think it's torn. Oh, really? John Ferguson Jr., you dumbass.
Can't confirm or deny a tear in the shoulder.
Just an absolute, like, just.
He wasn't a doctor, though, so
well,
he couldn't confirm.
Well, that's my point.
The point is, they
idiots.
Knew it from game one, and I could have had surgery. It would have been, a disastrous start to my Maple Leaf career, but I wouldn't have had to play the whole year with a torn labrum.
Yeah,
that bunch would of hurt. Dumbasses. Oh my God!
All right,
I can't even do it.
Jim Popp will join us in studio.
See, let's bring some positivity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
let's bring the force.
And you wonder why I don't like Ferguson Jr.
I have always understood why. Yeah, you don't need to tell me. I don't like him either. As an executive, it's nothing personal. I've never met him.
Then the greatest part about it is the last 6 games, I'm like, okay, Fergie, I'll keep playing with a garbage shoulder with the danger of just ruining it. And then I get 19 goals, and the last game, no.
Who was the guy again?
Williams. Justin, what was his name? Williams.
Bobby
Jeremy Williams.
Well,
we're calling a kid up for the, okay. Okay, Fergie.
Well, I have to be honest, and I think I've told you this before. Fergie was involved with the St. Louis Blues organization, and he was really good to me, but he was an AGM, like he was farther down. He was
kind of a buffer for you guys.
Yeah, he was. Okay. He was always nice to me.
All right, Jim Pop's coming up. Lou Lamorello later in the afternoon. Jerry's percentages. All right, Ray's coming up in about half an hour. He was in Calgary calling that Leaf game last night. The Leafs beating the Flames 4-1. Off tonight, back in action in Edmonton tomorrow. Lou Lamorello will help us look back on the game and tee up that game tomorrow night around 6:05. Lou will check in. We're going to get Jim Pop in studio in about 5-7 minutes. I was out for lunch today. A couple of things came to my attention.
Were you out with the wife?
Yes, I was. A little date.
Really?
A little lunch date.
How did it go?
Actually, pretty well, but we had a bit of a heated debate.
How much stock do you put in a waiter's advice on what to eat?
She will go down with the ship based on what the waiter suggests.
I did that today, too. The waitress was like, this wrap is my favorite. I'm like, okay.
Why would you do that? You're two different organisms.
Exactly. Not a chance.
Why would you care what some person has to say about a menu?
Well, do you think she's lying? That is
yeah, it's her, but I it's had her the wrap, personal
and
favorite.
My buddy had her favorite other alternative, and Bob's your uncle.
Did it ever
what
dawn
if it was
that...
a vegan sandwich?
Yeah.
Or Ethiopian food?
I would have said, I actually don't like vegan sandwiches. Can you pick something else?
Did it ever dawn on you that everything is her favorite? Yeah, that's my favorite, too, actually.
Don't you understand that restaurant people, they have a lot of downtime between shifts, busy shifts. They sample everything. They eat everything.
So what? They have taste buds.
You're that, John Ferguson Jr.
You're such an idiot. You are Feschuk and I'm Phil. Yeah.
You're Brian Feschuk. Ferguson Jr.
Hit me with some Feschuk and Phil.
Such an idiot here.
Because why would you care? That's like walking into a HMV and being like, tell me what music I should buy.
Totally different.
Like, well, I'm into jazz right now, so I think you should buy this album.
Harry Connick Jr., go and buy that disc.
Yeah.
And you know what? You have the option to say, no, I don't like that. But if they bring up something that they like and it appeals to you, you try it.
But you know what I get? Steph's like that. Oh, that sounds wonderful. Try it. And guess what happens? She complains about it the whole damn time.
Yeah, that's what happens
today. This isn't very good. Can I have a bite of your sandwich? No, you ordered that pile of whatever that is over there.
Exactly what happened today.
And then the waiter or waitress will come back and say, how's your food? Oh, it's wonderful. Thank you very much. Oh. Like, it's literally, she's lying through her
teeth. Meanwhile, she's got it stuffed in a garbage
and
bin.
Exactly.
By the way.
She won't eat anything. And I actually will say, she doesn't enjoy the sandwich.
Horrible decision. Horrible
Guelph,
suggestion.
And she gets mad at me.
Guelph, Ontario ranked third best city in Canada to raise a family. So suck on that.
What year?
Brian Ferguson Jr.
What year is that?
Right now? I'm Fergie now. Yeah, so what are you, Jeff Babcock?
No, I am not. I'm Jeff Shanahan.
What year is that? Is that recent year?
I run the show.
And who comes up with that list, too? That's probably like a waiter or a waitress. You just pull them aside and be like, what do you think of Guelph?
Nah, yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, I grew
raise
up there.
Family there.
Probably
yeah.
the third best.
I'll put them number three. Yeah. Okay, they're third best now.
Imagine they did it through just peelers. With children, do you like this city or not? Yes, guy. No, guy.
You're saying Guelph would be high on that list?
Dude, I don't know.
Simply because of the manor and...
Was that what it's called, the manor?
It's the best.
You know what I found out, actually? We were talking about the State Queen the other day. Apparently it burned down.
Oh, that's convenient.
Rob Ford's...
Rob Ford's Jamaican patois...
Rant.
State Queen.
That burned down?
I guess. And, you know, it kind of rung a bell. I guess I do remember hearing about that, but...
Very sad.
Anyway, Ray in about 25, Jerry's at 5:30, Jim Pop in studio next. All right, Jerry's percentages in 45. It was a big day yesterday downtown at the Argos Grey Cup parade, an even bigger day a few days ago in Ottawa when the Argos stormed back late in the fourth and picked up the 105th Grey Cup. And we're joined now in studio by a man we've been chatting with all season, and he's made the triumphant return in studio. Here is the GM of the team, Jim Pop. Jim, you look like you've been having a good time these past few days.
Oh, I learned long ago
the you need to celebrate when you have a chance to celebrate. This isn't, you know, it doesn't come around all the time. Let's have a good time as long as you can.
So take us back to the game. So we were discussing yesterday and the day before. You were stone-faced the whole game. I mean, the camera would pan to you, good, bad, indifferent, and how did you keep it in check?
I've been fortunate to be in that game 11 times, and I've won five, so 5 and 6. And out of those 6 losses, you know, they burn. And I've lost one in the last play of the game, missed 2-point conversion inside a minute, double overtime. I mean,
well, didn't you win one with Montreal where they had to they kicked the extra point of the field goal, and it might have been Saskatchewan, had too many people on the field.
Yeah, it was a double kick,
and then they got to re-kick it, and you won.
We did. Now the crazy thing about that is we made what's considered one of the greatest, if not the greatest, comeback in the history of the league, a game, and that's never talked about. And our kicker misses the kick, you know, but he gets another shot. So we saw the flags go up. You know, you hold your breath, just like when the return for the, you know, the fumble return, and you're looking all over the place for a flag.
Right. Yeah.
Now you see flags go down in a game like that, and I'm just waiting for the official to go, there was no penalty on the play, you know, in the game, and they win. But yet you get, usually when you see that happen on a kick, there's too many men on the field. You know where, when the flags come, you're getting another shot, and lucky you put it through that time.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You were saying yesterday you guys beat everyone down the stretch.
Yep.
And you felt like you had the best team. Did you feel like the rest of the league was disrespecting you, or the football world was disrespecting you guys? I mean, you were 7-point dogs going into that game.
Well, it's understandable. You know, Calgary's a great football team, and they've had great teams over the last number of years. It's kind of like in Montreal for that decade. Calgary's had it for the last, you know, 5-6 years, whatever it is, maybe 8 years. But at the end of it, you know, they weren't playing their best football down the stretch. Maybe injuries, things that had cropped up. They played a great division championship game against a very good team in Edmonton. But for us, our back end of our season, games we were losing early, we started winning. We beat 4 straight Western teams. You know, we found ways to win. You know, those last 2 playoff games, we won them inside a minute. You know, that game, that Grey Cup game, a lot of things didn't go our way. And our guys stood in there, and they weathered it. They kind of had that, in, you know, that ability through the back end of the year. And you were just waiting for something to take place, you know, not knowing what it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It happened. And it happened twice. It happened on the return, got the 2-point play, and then we pick a pass off.
It was really a wild game. Jim Popp, GM of the Argos, in studio. And that's what was amazing to me after knowing that you guys have won the game, that I thought Ricky Ray played fine. It wasn't like it was the greatest game he's ever played in his career. James Wilder Jr. couldn't get going. S.J. Green was a couple catches, but nothing crazy. Yet you guys still win the game. I mean, that's football, isn't it? That you can't predict who's going to be the superstar, who's going to be the guy that brings it home for you, but doesn't matter in the end as long as you win.
That's exactly right. It takes big plays sometimes. You know, Calgary did a nice job. I mean, they mixed it up. They moved the ball at times, but they also turned the ball over. I mean, they fumbled 6 times. We only got one of them.
Right.
The ball was there, and it's like we couldn't get on the ball, you know, and or we had a big return, and you know, and a call brought it back. You know, there was just that adversity, but no one panicked. That was the great thing. And we were able to make the plays down the stretch when it counted, kind of like you see maybe in an NBA game. You know, it gets in the last few minutes. That's the game. And our guys have been able to have that ability down the stretch.
You mentioned winning and celebrating, and you should celebrate as long as possible. But I think sometimes, and it might be a little too soon to get into this for you, but general managers or people in the front office, they can make poor decisions after winning and tying into people for maybe too long, or thinking that this can go on forever. How difficult is it for you to look at different contracts and different personnel and say, thanks for this, we won, but like, how busy is your schedule going to be looking after all that stuff going forward? And how hard is it to not say, this guy helped me win this championship, I got to keep him around?
It's very difficult. My first year in this league, I'll never forget this. I come into the league in Saskatchewan. I'm with Don Matthews. My first job was to cut 2 very popular veteran players in Saskatchewan. And he goes, Pop, we are not going to be liked. but what we're going to do, but he goes, you got to cut two guys. He says, but you know what? We're going to win and create new stars, and they're not going to be forgotten, but people are going to forgive us, and we're going to move on. And I learned that early. So you don't want to ever see that. My philosophy is to keep as many people together. You got to reevaluate all the time. You got to evaluate the performance. I don't believe in free agency. If we do, it'll be speckled. I believe in building from within, draft, build your own guys, develop them and come, and keep as many people together. That's what I believe in. Mark buys into that. It's worked a lot of times. But right now, as we speak, there is a pure evaluation going on. The coaches get their say. We'll rank the players from 1 to 70. You know, we'll sit here and say at each position who played well, who didn't. We need to upgrade here, there. The scouting staff has their say. We'll go into free agency. We'll see exactly which of our guys resign before the middle of February, who doesn't, and then we'll move on for probably some guys. And we always say this every year. This is the last time this team will be together.
Oh, yeah.
And we start over again when we get to training camp or mini camp.
So how does that apply to Ricky Ray in his situation?
Well, we definitely want Ricky Ray to return. But we also want Ricky Ray, just like we did at the end of February when we were announced as GM and head coach, and we said Ricky Ray's our quarterback. First thing we did is call Ricky Ray. Do you want to play? Yes, I do, and I feel as healthy as I did in the last 3 years. Great. You're the starting quarterback.
You want to do it again.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. So here's what's going to do. Ricky, I don't want to know what Ricky's doing right now. I want Ricky to take a month off. I want him to feel good. I want to know how his body feels. I want to know how he feels. You just won a championship. Do you want to do it again? Do you have that drive? Do you want it? Now, him walking around our locker room, him walking around through our facility, the way this year's gone, he is a smiling, happy person. And my gut feeling is he'll be back. Now, a month from now, he may go, I'm finished. So we don't know. But I surely want to give him a good month into January.
Give him 6 weeks. Okay. I used to like to take 6 weeks after a hockey season. Then I would kind of clear my head.
Well, congrats on an incredible first impression in the marketplace, first season, the Grey Cup. And we look forward to seeing how the rest of the offseason goes. I mean, it started 3 days ago. Let's see where you take it.
I tell you what, I'm going tonight to the TFC. Spend some time with Larry and hope the soccer team rings a championship. But I do know this. We feel fantastic that we were able to give Larry Tannenbaum his first championship and have another championship in this city. And I hope all the sports teams have that and we have a great time.
You ever been to Larry's house?
I have.
It's pretty sick, huh?
It's amazing.
It's a good spot. Pool. Oh, man, it's a spot.
Well, enjoy it tonight, Jim, and we'll bug you down the road, I'm sure, and congrats again on the Grey Cup.
Man, it's been a great all season. I thank you for having me on. It's fantastic.
There he is, the GM of the Argos, Jim Popp. Race coming up, looking back on the Leaf game last night. TFC in action tonight. We'll tee it up, and Jerry at 5:30.